A virtuoso is, of course, known for their range and mastery, but our next guest definitely fits that bill. He also pushes the limits of an art form that is, by definition, flexible. He debuted as a solo cellist at the tender age of 13. At 15, he was awarded an Avery Fisher Career Grant for exceptional musical achievement, becoming the youngest person to do so. And among many places, he studied at Harvard and at the Juilliard School under Leonard Rose, Ronald Leonard, and Yo-Yo Ma. He's played Schubert in Carnegie Hall. He's also brought Bach to humble barrooms. And this introduction for Matt Heimovitz is pretty abridged, since his accolades are just too numerous to list. I could go on, but lucky for us, Matt Heimovitz and his cello are here to do most of the talking this hour. Matt, thanks for stopping by the Exchange.
Oh, it's great to be here.
So what kind of, you have a beautiful instrument in your hand, and it looks like it has seen some history. Can you tell us about the cello you have with you today?
This is one of the beautiful cellos around. This is a Venetian cello from 1710, so a couple hundred years old, and it was made by Matteo Gofriller, one of the great cello makers around then. He emigrated from Austria and ended up in Venice, and everybody wanted his instruments back then and still do today.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. So 300 years old, and excuse me, I'm a bit of a rube in the world of classical music. So why would you want to play a 300-year-old thing? I mean, surely people have made a lot of cellos since then.
They do. They make some great cellos today. It's a tradition that continues, but something about the wood, about the way it's aging, nobody quite understands why these instruments sound so incredible. And where you really realize how good they are is in a concert hall. You go in and all of a sudden an instrument like this, just somehow the sound reaches to the last crevice of the room, and it just fills up the room with sound, and just the subtlety of what you can create on these instruments. I like to play Bach on these instruments, and I also like to play Jimi Hendrix. You know, I just, there's so many overtones that I like to say that, you know, you once you have overtones, that's great, but you can take them away, but you can't add overtones. And this instrument just has all those overtones to it.
So you have, in fact, adapted Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star Spangled Banner for the cello. Can you tell us more about that project?
Oh, the Star Spangled Banner? Yeah. Well, I was on a 50-state tour. It was called Anthem, and it was right after 9/11. I was celebrating living American composers, and I was about to play punk club in New York City called CBGB, uh-huh. now defunct, and so I wanted to do something special for CBGB. It was the first time a classical artist was playing. I played three Bach cello suites, and so I made an arrangement of Jimi Hendrix's Star Spangled Banner from Woodstock, and gave a little political spiel. This was right before the Iraq War, so it was kind of this Orwellian feeling in the air that, you know, anybody who was against going to war was somehow unpatriotic. Mm-hmm. And I thought the parallels with the Vietnam War were very strong, and what Jimi Hendrix, the statement he made, you know, the freedom of speech, freedom of expression, that's more powerful and stronger than anything any kind of military might. I thought it was really resonating at that moment, and so I made the arrangement, did it, and then went and played it in 50 states.
Wonderful. Well, and today, so many years later, I'm glad that you could be here with us. I understand you've prepared to play some cello suites by Bach for us.
Well, I'll play a movement. Yeah, I'll play or two. I can start with the prelude of the first suite, where Bach establishes this three-part form or three-voice form, all for one little cello.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. The other. Beautiful sounds of the cello as played by Matt Heimovitz. He is playing in Ashland today at 7:30 at the Music Recital Hall at SOU with Christopher O'Reilly on piano. That was beautiful. Thank you. So tonight, well, before we get into what you're playing tonight, it's a little different than what you just played for us now, but I want to ask you about your relationship to the works of Bach. I mean, has it changed throughout your life in a way that you could put in a nutshell for us?
It changes every day. This music, not only, I mean, there's very little indication in the score of what to do. The manuscript that survived by Bach's second wife, Anna Magdalena, has some indications of how many notes to put on a bow. But other than that, there's no dynamics, nothing to say how loud or soft to play, nothing to say how fast or slow to play. So every cellist approaches this music differently, and you have to sort of make sense of it, and it's lifelong. It's like being a detective, you know. It's like a lifelong process. You just kind of go through life, and you know, every couple of years, it just sounds very, very different to you. And I made a recording of these pieces in 2000. I don't recognize anymore what I did 15 years ago. So I made a new recording just a year ago on Baroque cello and Baroque bow and gut strings and. It's like two different cellists. Like you wouldn't recognize the two performances.
Wow. And I was looking at your background and some of the long list of really fancy places that you have played. And then also, you know, this thing like the Bach listening room tour and playing at a punk club in bar rooms. How does a piece of music and your experience as an artist change depending on where you're playing and who's listening to you?
You know, in the end, Any place that will welcome music is a place to make music. You know, in the end, those barriers are kind of broken. But when I first started playing alternative spaces, coffee houses, rock clubs, I mean, it was sort of a real steep learning curve for me.
In what way?
Well, I mean, one, the idea that I had to entertain an audience and engage them on a human level, that I wasn't just some distant thing, and you know, on stage, a hero, you know, and just sort of showing, being able to show vulnerability and sort of engage and talk. You know, the idea of talking in public was all very, very new to me. As I walked out to the Iron Horse Music Hall, that's where the first one I played in Northampton, a very famous coffee house. I saw all these posters of these great entertainers, great musicians too, but they were entertainers and they could really, you know, make people laugh and engage them and I was terrified. You know, I'd never talked to an audience before. So that whole experience was new and then, you know, just instantly feeling the chemistry in the room when you're in a space like that. I've learned so much in those experiences that I now bring that back to the recital hall, to the concert hall.
Well, let's talk about the recital hall you'll be in tonight. It's the Music Recital Hall at SOU. You're playing with Christopher O'Reilly on piano. Tell us about what's planned there.
Well, it's very different than what I just played in terms of the Bach. We're playing tonight a Russian program. We're playing probably the three greatest sonatas by Russian composers for cello and piano: Rachmaninoff, Shostakovich, and Prokofiev. So each of those three were oppressed in their own way in their own country, you know, with Stalin, you know, kind of oppressing Shostakovich and Prokofiev. Rachmaninoff was in self-exile in New York for years and years. He left Russia. We're about to record this repertoire, and so we've made some arrangements also of some Russian tunes, including, Russian-related, I guess, back to the USSR of the Beatles. A wonderful Victor Choi piece. He's kind of like the Leonard Cohen of Russia. A piece called Kukushka. And then I felt we had to do some Pussy Riot, so we arranged some Pussy Riot for cello and piano.
Wonderful. And we have a piece actually here of you and Christopher and O'Reilly together. This is a cover of an Arcade Fire song, which I'd like to play now, and then we could talk about it a bit.
Great.
We're listening to Matt Heimovitz, cellist, play with Christopher O'Reilly on piano. This is a cover of the Arcade Fire, a Canadian indie rock band. How did that come about?
Well, I actually shop at the same grocer as the Arcade Fire guys in Montreal. I live in Montreal.
Okay.
No. And
so you just wanted music for buying vegetables too? Something like that.
Well, actually, it's not vegetables. I'm told by the clerks over there that I buy about as much meat as they do. We buy a lot of meat. So
okay.
And not vegetarian over here. But in 2010 when they got the Grammy for their album, we were also nominated for my cello ensemble, Uccello, was nominated for a Grammy for a jazz album that we made, Meeting of the Spirits. And so we met over there, and when Chris and I were going to do Shuffle Play Listen, this project that sort of bridges genres and treats music like an iPod and you can just, you know, press shuffle and hear whatever you want to play, whatever you want to hear, we decided to include, you know, in addition to Radiohead and Cocteau Twins and John McLaughlin, who Chris and I are both fans of, the Mahavishnu Orchestra, and so we wanted to include some Arcade Fire, and that's where Empty Room comes in.
So among your many awards here on this biography in front of me, one of them involves your advocacy and your perspective on living composers. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I didn't play a note of living composer until I was in college, actually. And then in that first year, I met Stephen Mackey, a wonderful American composer. And I had an opportunity to, I was recording for Deutsche Grammophon at that time. And I had an opportunity to work with Gheorghe Ligeti, excuse me, one of the great 20th century mm-hmm. composers. And it was just a life-changing experience because he wanted me to make the first recording of his sonata. And I was happy to do it. And he liked some of the things I was doing, but he didn't like other things. And so the idea that a living composer was giving me feedback right there about his composition, I realized, oh my God, I got to go talk to Bach and Beethoven and Mozart and see what they think of my music, you know, if I'm doing it right. So having a living person to be able to work with, to be able to shape the piece, and it's just a humbling experience to realize that you're trying to get to the heart of a vision of this individual, and you got to keep sculpting that vision.
We're talking with Matt Heimovitz. He's playing today. I do believe it's sold out already at the Music Recital Hall tonight at SOU at 7:30. Is that the case?
It's sold out, but they're taking a waiting list, I guess, if people don't show up. So you can still try.
Well, there are a couple more minutes here. Might we hear you play us out of the interview? Be an honor.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Why don't I take an Italian courant? It's a dance, a brisk dance.
Matt Heimovitz on The Exchange. Thank you. You've been hearing the music of Matt Heimovitz. He's playing tonight. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening.